You're tuned to Halftime with the Playmakers. In our segment called Who's Next, we bring on current and former athletes, coaches, and people in the sports industry. We have an amazing guest joining the show today. He was a former four-star recruit, played at the University of Alabama, and was drafted in the second round with the 45th overall pick in the 2023 NFL Draft to the Detroit Lions. Welcome to the show, Brian Branch.
Thank you for having me.
I know we talked about you coming on last year when you did the whole draft process, but I'm glad to have you here now. We got this situated and everything like that.
Oh, facts. And, you know, sure, like I said, thank you for having me. I've been wanting to join this for a little minute now.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump right into it. You made a lot of history at Sandy Creek High School. I know about it. Everybody can look it up themselves. But at the end of the day, you had a lot of offers from SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12. But why, at the end of the day, why Alabama?
I just felt like Alabama was my home. I had that gut feeling, especially after meeting Coach Saban. You know, his principles. I fell in love with his principles and how he coached football and stuff like that. And, you know, I knew I could see myself being there for a good three to four years. And I feel like they had a higher chance of, you know, bringing out my best potential.
Cool. Speaking of Coach Saban, can you give us your favorite Saban story?
I remember, this may be a little too rated R, but I had got hurt one play, and he came up to me. He was like, are you okay, little baby? And then he held up like this as like, you hurt your, what's the name? So that was my favorite one.
I know, like you said, Alabama felt like home when you were coming to choose a university. There were a number of other DBs within that class, and especially ones that are in the class this year for the draft. That level of competition that you had at Alabama, do you think that adequately prepared you for your NFL time?
Heck yeah, I feel like, you know, we was going against, for one, me being in a room, like you said, with other elite DBs, you know, survival of the fittest, you had to go get it. Like, you know, if you wanted, you had to go get it. And going against them, and then on the offensive end, going against receivers that, you know, that Alabama's had in the past, that's NFL talent already. So I feel like I got introduced to NFL talent, you know, at an early age and at an early stage. I feel like that's helped me prepare for where I'm at now.
Absolutely.
Out of those guys that you played every day in practice in college, who would you say was the hardest to cover?
Probably Waddle and J-Mo.
Why so?
Speed, and they both can run routes. You know, it's the difference when you got somebody who's just fast, but like they're able to add that route running ability, and that makes them, like, to me, unguardable one-on-one. They were tough, and also my sleeper, who also was hard, is John Metchie, I would say.
Speaking on Saban, what was the best advice that he's given you?
I'll say the best advice that he's given to me was you gotta lay in the bed that you sleep in. Like, you know, we grown men now, so like you gotta take care of your family. Any mistakes that you do, you know, you gotta deal with it. Like, just treating like on the football field as well too. You know, at first I had a horrible way of dealing with me getting like a play caught on me, or, you know, a play happening on me. And like, he taught me how to, like, that memory, the short-term memory, you know, you gotta have short-term memory in this game, and you gotta move on quickly. And for the longest, I feel like that's what's been holding me back. And, you know, he helped, you know, install that short-term memory in me, and made me go far.
To keep on that saving track, just what was your first interaction with Coach Saban at your first practice? And then where were you at when you found out the news that Nick Saban retired?
First practice, like I said, I got a play caught on me, and like he started like yelling at me. Like, this first week of fall camp, and like, you know, for a minute I didn't know why he was doing it. Like, he would yell at me for even like taking a knee. Everybody would be taking a knee, and like, you know, he yelling at me or whatnot. And I felt, for the longest, I thought it was like he was picking on me, but like, you know, at the end of the day, like they said, if Saban on to you, like, tough on you, man. I mean, he loves you. So like, I look at it now, it was a good thing. And then where I was at when he first, I think I was, when did that happen?
That was just about right after 2024. It was right after 2024 started. I don't remember exactly, but no, I remember it was after 2024.
I was in Detroit.
Okay. But yeah, you were still in season, so I was just asking, like, what were your thoughts on it?
I kind of felt like he was going to do that. Either I thought he was going to do it after we lost my junior year, or this year. I expected it this year because I feel like, you know, he's getting old. He already proven himself. And the shape of college football is not the same no more. That's why I also think he did it.
Do you think the NIL turned to like a good thing or a bad thing now that you're out of college and you're in the NFL?
I feel like it's both, because the good thing is we athletes put their body on the line every day. And I feel like, you should get rewarded. Like, you know, you put so many hours, it's our job, kind of. And we need to get paid. But I also feel like it's a bad thing, because I feel like now it's not about which program is going to, you know, bring out the best potential or make me go harder or just teach me those principles on and off the field. It's more about who gonna pay me the most. And I feel like you can go, that's not how the mindset should be. And you know, people leaving schools, people are quitting, people are transferring early without even like staying down for the come up. And I feel like that stay down for the come up teach you a life lesson in the long run.
Coach Saban kind of touched on that in a previous interview. He was talking about how he was talking to his wife and they were discussing that, like you said, it's not about how we can develop the players, but how much we can pay them. Where do you see the future of your alma mater in terms of post-Saban era?
I still think Bama gonna be on top in a way, because we still Bama. You know, without Saban, that's the same thing of how Bear Bryant stepped down and Coach Saban came. It's still Alabama. I just feel like now is who's gonna be the highest bid, who's gonna be the highest bidder. And you know, whoever the highest bidder wins, and I feel like, Alabama, they got the money, but it's hard to being with schools like Texas when they got that oil money and stuff. So it's like, I won't be surprised if one of them Texas schools win a national championship in the next few years.
That kind of brings me to my next question. In terms of when you played at Alabama, where were some other schools that had that kind of rich brand and passionate fans that just made it difficult to play and compete on every Saturday?
I would say Texas A&M, Texas, Georgia, and I'll throw in Tennessee.
Just a hypothetical question. If you were still in college right now while the new NCAA game is coming out, what would your overall be? What would you think overall would be?
At least a 95.
What about speed? What would you like give your rating on speed and catching?
Catching, 97. Speed, I'd probably say 92.
Change of direction.
95.
Now, I know you hit, so what do you give your tackling and hit power?
99.
I don't think people understand like how difficult the position of cornerback is to play. I played in high school, and I'm not comparing that to your experience at all, but I know just how difficult it was to play in the secondary. Can you defend that? Like, because people say that, oh, the quarterbacks are hardest to play, oh, the offensive line. But why is cornerback like the most difficult position to play across the board?
You on an island, like ain't no help. Like you got your man. If he go across the field, under or shallow, you got him. And I feel like you gotta be real cerebral. You gotta be, you know, a ball hawk. You gotta have good eyes, and you gotta have good man-to-man abilities. And I feel like having a true lockdown corner can take your team to the championship, for real.
Now we're gonna just hop into some NFL. You were in the second round, which everybody thought you were supposed to be in the first round. But can you just talk about your just draft process leading up to the draft, and then your thoughts about the draft itself?
My draft process, it was pretty much, you know, I trained for at least 2 months. I kept on trying to get that 40 down, and I feel like I did get the 40 down, but I just didn't run it.
What was the time you were aiming for?
Like a 4.49 or 4.45 flat, really. And I feel like the 40, they need to take the 40 out, in my opinion. Because I feel like it's two different things between game speed and 40 speed. And the process, after the draft?
Yeah, just the draft in total. Just what were your thoughts on the draft? And then, really, you went kind of viral for coming back. What was your main reason why you came back for the second round?
Because my family was there. You know, we came a long way, Georgia to Kansas City. And just having everybody there. And, you know, me wanting to walk across the stage as a little kid, me and the commissioner's hand, I feel like that dream was still, I was still able to do it. And shoot, why not fulfill it? And that was a big thing for me.
In this era of like defensive backs, what do you think NFL scouts and coaches are looking for out of these new candidates for defensive backs?
I feel like for safeties, you have to be able to cover, not only hit, but cover. That's the new day and age game. You got to be able to cover and hit. Corners, you have to be able to cover too. And I feel like they're more looking for, you know, defensive backs who can do it all. Like, I could play, like, people, defensive backs who can play corner, safety, and nickel. Like, who wouldn't want that?
I know people, especially in our studio, when we have the podcast, we talk a lot about, like, a Cooper DeJean who can be moved around, and he's a dynamic athlete. Do you see your game emulated in any of the DBs?
I like Cooper DeJean's game. He can move. You can play him anywhere, literally. If anybody, I like Mike, what's his name? He went to Michigan. He's a nickel. He's small, but he good. I feel like that's somebody who, I say, emulate my game.
Brian, what was your first encounter with Coach Dan Kimmy?
My first encounter, probably when I had to go, visit them for my, it's like after the, during the, before the draft, well, after the combine, you got like official visits in a way, and you got to go to each school, I mean, each team. I met him and Brad Holmes my first time, and they sat me in the room and just asked me questions, trying to grill me, but just trying to see who I was. Shoot, mess with Coach Dan.
All right, I got two plays from your rookie year that I want you to walk us through. So the first one actually comes from preseason against the Giants. The first play you really made that went viral. The wide receiver number 9 caught a little dump pass in the backfield. You come up, hit him really hard. Go ahead and walk us through the emotions and the feelings that were going through you after making your first big play.
Honestly, I was lit. I'm not gonna lie, I was lit. especially it was Cole Beasley too. Really. Cole Beasley. I remember growing up watching him at the Cowboys when he played, and you know he fought. I guess for me being able to do that was like a, yeah, like I'm coming moment. Pause.
All right, my second moment comes from week 1 of the regular season, opening game of the year against the reigning champs. Ball gets picked early second. Excuse me, ball gets tipped early second half, down 7. Ball's into your hands. You make a nice one-handed play. They take it back for 6. I mean, that's like the stuff you dream of as a kid. So, I mean, share your feelings about that play too.
Again, I was lit too. At first, I was going for the hit. I didn't think he was gonna drop it, but I guess when he dropped it, you know, that's God. God gave him the ball. He put me in that position. I really kind of blacked out, kind of like once I crossed the goal line. Cause like, man, first game I really scored. Shoot, like that was an eye opener for me. Like, yeah, I can really hang too.
For sure.
Would you claim that as your welcome to the NFL moment?
In a good way, or cause you could have welcome to the NFL moment.
I was gonna ask about the Ricky Hayes and next, but in a good moment, yeah.
Yeah, I could put that there.
And then did you ever experience that rookie just treatment coming in Detroit?
Not for real. Not really at all. Except for like the rookie dinner.
How much did you spend?
I spent 5.
Okay. I was spending a little bit higher. Yeah. Was it just the DB group?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who ordered the most expensive meal? My money's on CDJ.
Nah, he did it. It was Cam Sutton, really.
That's my dog too. Just what was your overall thoughts as your first rookie year? Just what did you expect and what did not expect from your rookie season?
How cutthroat this business is. I seen people who they bring in for fall camp and then cut them the next day. Teammates who like, it's kind of like you're scared to get close to because you never know when somebody may be like, you know, off the team. I didn't really expect that part, kinda. But my rookie season was what I thought it was gonna be. I feel like playing wise, I feel like there's a lot of stuff like I gotta improve on. I gotta hurry up and improve on. The game's a little faster, but not too much faster. Thankfully, Alabama prepared me. But it really is a gauntlet. I would say that, like, you know, coming from college, you have like teams that like, you know, like shoot, like I'm gonna go to sleep late type for the game. But nah, you gotta be on your P's and Q's like every game. And that's the main difference between it.
What's something in your life that like really changed your approach to the game? Because like you said, it became more cutthroat. It's a job. Some players aren't going to be there for more than a few weeks, especially in training camp. So what was your approach to changing your mentality? It's like, well, I'm here. Let me make the most of this opportunity.
I think growing up, honestly, like just playing the game of football, I feel like I was kind of like the underdog in a lot of my years. And I feel like it gave me that grit to be one of like the best. And I feel like having that drive, that mentality have like helped carry me in a way, because knowing this game is cutthroat, like shoot, I'm gonna do the best of my ability to stay into this game.
If you had to say just like who were the toughest matchups you went against this year, who is your top 5?
Justin Jefferson, Darnell Mooney, Jalen Reed, and I would say Who else did you really talk to?
No, you played the 49ers. Just wanted to add that out there.
But they didn't really play me that game. I'll probably throw in
No Mike Evans?
I didn't guard him. I'm trying to think who y'all played. Am I even say my teammate?
You can. You can say your teammate too.
I'll probably throw J-Mo and St. Brown in there.
Explain me to St. Brown, because he's very crafty in the slot. Just what have you seen that makes it so difficult?
Like you say, crafty. He knows the defense, you know. He's not just out there running routes. He knows the exact spots where to be. He got good hands, shoot. That's someone who got a 99 in catching ability. He got good, strong hands. He's not your fast guy, but like his game speed, I feel like, is fast. And he got good quickness too, I feel like. Coming off the line, that's someone who you can play on the outside and in the slot, and something that you want to receive.
Who was the best quarterback that you played against this year?
Either Patrick or Lamar.
Okay. And who was the most underrated quarterback you played?
Justin Herbert. What was his name? Justin
Herbert. Herbert Fields.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert. Chargers.
Herbert.
Yeah.
If you had to give like an ideal like defensive back room you would want to play with right now in the NFL, who would it be and why?
Group or person?
Group. Just like defensive back group from corner all the way to safety.
Each position? Like name them?
Yeah.
Pat, I'm probably going to throw Tre'Davious Ward. Yeah. I put them two on the outside. Back in, I put Jesse Bates and I'll probably say, what's bro from Tampa Bay?
Winfield,
yeah.
Got you. That's solid.
Now, do you model any of your games after them or just like see film and pick one or two things that you like out of them and add it to yours?
Yeah, I do that. I really model my game after like Tyrann Mathieu or like Troy Polamalu.
I know as far as where the league is going, utilizing tight ends and receivers, you have these bulky, they call them nightmare matchups. How do you feel like you've adjusted to playing these type of players like the Kelce's, the Pitts, and Njoku's that can still block but are a threat as a receiver?
I feel like I've been going against that in college. You know, that they really, Alabama's really prepared me, I would say. But those guys are special and generational, don't get me wrong. Kelce, like all of them, you just gotta really study them and make sure your ability is better than their ability.
And just to close things off, Brian, I just want to ask you, it's March Madness. Who do you have winning it all?
I really want Kentucky to win it all, but they're gonna have to bring Rob Dillingham. They're gonna have to start him. Who's another contender? I don't want Houston to win it.
Alabama?
Nah.
The level and goes to far football.
Maybe Auburn. Jabari or the school.
We were just talking about Auburn, yeah.
I can see them winning.
All right, well, thank you, Brian, so much for coming on again, my guy. I appreciate you so much throughout your busy time. You came through. I appreciate you.
Sure. Thank y'all for having me.